right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Sussnell. Thanks for joining me in the Inspire Possibility Show. And as you know, every week I have conversations with various individuals that I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people who have some insight, can help us illuminate our lives, and we feel better after listening to what they have to say and the conversation that we share together. And the person today is somebody I know through my writing circle, somebody that shared their book with me. And his name is Mark Dupree. He's the author of a book called The Realm of the Wise, which kind of intrigued me. And he calls it a new allegory for our time. And the it looks like a subtitle there is Finding Your Wise Guide. So I was thinking about in my own mind, what is a wise guide, and is it our innate wisdom? Is it something that inner voice inside? Some people sometimes feel like they connect with a higher power, or just something, an innate knowledge. And so anyway, these are questions I thought that I'd ask Mark to see what he has to say about it. And welcome, Mark Dupree. Thanks for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So what about some of these things that I asked, and what is that that wise guy that you know that you're alluding to in your book?
Yeah, well, I think you listed all the different words that we use to point to the same thing, and I think that we do have a sense that it's something that we experience at a deeper level than maybe our day-to-day consciousness. Mm-hmm. And what I really, I guess, I think in a lot of ways what keeps us at a place of distance from it is that we really do feel that we have, that it's somehow separate from us. And I think that part of what I was trying to do in the book is to really illuminate the connections we have, the ultimate connections we have to that source of intelligence. And so you can use whatever word you want. They're all pointers. They don't mean much, mm-hmm. and it's really what they're pointing at. And mm-hmm. And I use the word wise guide because I thought in that sense that there is a source in us that can lead us and revealing where it is we need to move, where we need to go, and inform us. So that's where that kind of came from. Go ahead.
It's kind of like that innate wisdom that we all
have.
Well,
I think it's an innate wisdom source, yeah. It's a wisdom source that if we can quiet our minds enough to be able to really empty our minds, we can be informed mm-hmm. from this source.
To listen. Yeah. To listen mm-hmm. to that voice, right? And then to trust
yeah.
it. And so many people, more or less, they hear that voice or that intuition, that feeling, that what they might think is something they should do, and for one reason or the other, they don't trust it. They don't trust going
yeah.
for it, and they hesitate, and then they don't really do anything, and they wonder why their life is the way it is. So what I'm curious about is that with all the people that have written books that I that I talk with is, I always think that you know, this book, was this something that inside of you that, is this your first book?
Yes, yeah. It is. I've written several essays on various subjects.
Yeah, and I know you. I know you're not a youngster. I know that.
No.
You're over 40.
I've been around the block a few times. Yeah,
you've been around the block a few times, and all of a sudden you write a book. And so what had you thought about writing a book before at another time in your life? And why now?
No, not in the, you know, this was a book I wrote to my son. It was something that started in writing to my son. And that was really prompted because my brother died. He was only 60 years old, and he was 5 years older than me. He died suddenly from a heart attack. And it was really a real shock. You know, we had he was the healthiest guy in the family. So I, mm-hmm. I felt the need to write something to my son that would be there, you know, if that was to happen to me sooner than I figured.
Right.
And so I wrote some of this up, and my mentor is Robert Johnson, who is a Jungian analyst. He studied with Carl Jung and wrote about 20 books of his own. And I was talking to him on the phone once, just told him a little bit about it, and I read him some of the stuff I had written. And the next time I saw him, he said, "I want to see more." And I read it to him, and he said, "You need to publish that." Mm-hmm. So that's really from his inspiration and from his, you know, my undying love for him and respect for him as a thinker and a sage in so many ways, that this was something that was coming through me that needed to move through me in a way, and my job was to get it out there. That was really it. So
and you were saying that this was really something you wanted to leave to your son. Did you?
Yes.
I noticed that. I didn't see that, and maybe I mm-hmm. missed that in the book or in the, you know.
Yeah, I didn't really. I didn't do a dedication or anything like that. I felt that if you read the book, you'll see that what I'm trying to mm-hmm. do is move away from this ego-centered orientation. So I was trying to reflect that in the book in the sense of being able to talk about the wise guide as being a thing that's transpersonal. So it's really beyond those things. Those are the things that I tell you now are what I remember. But those were
right.
just the indicators to move this thing through me. However it was going to do it, it was going to do it. And
right.
that's what happened.
Yeah. So you were saying you had a conversation with Robert Johnson. How long is somebody that you talked to periodically, or how did it come to be
well,
that you knew him?
Yeah, I met Robert at the Redwood Men's Conference back in the 90s and got to know him. It's unfortunate he has got Alzheimer's and is really not as present as he was. And I still stay in touch with him, and this book was started, you know, a number of years ago. And unfortunately, you know, I can't really share it with him now because he's not in a
right.
Place that he can really read it. But he was a great mentor to me and very encouraging. And, he blessed a lot of young men, and I was lucky to be one of them.
So when was this? You're saying this book was started a number of years. So this book was started a number of years ago? Is that what you're
yeah,
saying?
I probably started it, probably like about 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And didn't really
uh-huh.
know I had a book until
right.
maybe 3 years ago. I said, wait a minute, I actually think there is something here. And so I was I'm also a musician. A lot of times music sort of just creeps up on me and I don't even realize it's there until it's halfway done.
Right, exactly. So then this book, and this book just came out this year, right, in the last few months?
Yeah, I just released it. This is the first release just came out a month ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's the realm of the wise. So I wanted to read some sections that I from the introduction that I was reading again when – before we started our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this book is about how you can reestablish that long-lost connection to your deepest essence, your wise guide. It is who you are beyond all the happenstance of what you now call your story, your life. It is who you are when encumbered by conditioning, habits, and drama. It is who you are when you lose your false sense of separation and all becomes one. It is who you are when you recognize that the spaciousness surrounding us is the source of all it is. This book reconnects you to your essential self. The wise guide is you. So that's pretty profound. And so I guess the next question is, you know, we have a sense of what the wise guide is, and people maybe describe it in, with different words, different phrasing, and I think it's pretty clear from the description that I, you know, just read that more or less we have a sense of what that is. But how do you tune into that? How do you tune into the wise guide?
Well, let me give you an image.
We talk about listening, but how do we do that?
Well, I think the thing is here's an image. Here's an image that we imagine a tree, okay? And you see the tree, mm-hmm. and you see the multiplicity in the
right
branches
now.
Of the tree. Okay.
I see the branches.
The multiplicity in the tree and its branches, right? There's all sorts
uh-huh.
of different branches, and, you know, out here in California, we have all sorts of different kinds of trees, and wherever who's listening to this would be able to see all the multiplicity of the branches on the very top of the tree. But the
right.
tree is really all the multiplicity and differentiation and what may a branch may experience, a separateness from the other branches,
uh-huh.
actually culminates together into one tree, right? It all comes down
right.
into one tree. So we can talk about a branch, and in many ways people are very, very attuned to their branchness, but they're not attuned to their tree-ness. And that's really the key
uh-huh.
to what the mystics talk about, which I don't think is such a great mystery, is the recognition of the unity of all things. Yeah, we experience
right.
the tree in its branches because we're going to try and cut a branch off it for some reason. We use the word.
Right.
But really, the tree itself is one thing. And in that sense, even if you want to take it further, the tree itself is connected to the ground, connected to the air, connected
right, the
to
root.
The sun. To everything
yeah.
else. So
yeah.
our separation of things is really just the utility. We do it for a reason to make things easier for us to navigate inside
right.
this very thin atmosphere. But ultimately,
right.
it's just a concept. It's a construct that we've made. It's not really there. The tree is
What's
part of all that is.
When you're describing this, I'm looking at a fig tree. out my window here, and at the very
Good.
Top of the fig tree is, and the figs are just, they're not really, you know, really haven't happened yet, but in the very
right.
tallest branch, there's this bird sitting, and I was thinking about it, but I see that the very top, these branches, they go in many directions, and the more branches there are, the further they get away from their source, their
right.
root. And
right,
and, this,
right.
And that goes into the ground and the soil and the how the soil's nurtured and the sun and the rain and all the elements
right.
and that's a good metaphor because I think the
yeah and all the words
our,
you just use are all particularizations you've made of really one thing. It's one unified
right.
thing. Yeah,
right.
We're the ones that are seeing the particulars, but otherwise,
right.
as far as existence goes, it's really just it's really one thing.
And the spiritual philosophy that I'm in, a lot talks about how, you know, there's one God, one source, and we're all individual manifestations of that. And as I'm looking to that mm-hmm. tree, I can see that these branches that are, again,
mm-hmm.
further and further away from its source are all part of that initial root, that initial tree.
Right, and that makes, not to tire the metaphor too much, but the source of the tree is the tree itself in an existence. It's not the roots, it's not the branches, it's not any particular place because there's no end really to it as part of the whole.
Uh-huh.
That's why I use mm-hmm. the term the realm of the wise because it comes from the word wisdom. Wisdom is wise dominion, and dominion is a realm, but the realm I'm talking about doesn't have any boundaries. There's no borders. It's everything, all inclusive. It's where our rational minds have to stop, because our rational minds can't go further than that. It comes to a shore. It comes to the end of what we can know based on our rationality and must look out unto a complete unity. And our rational minds can't take us there. So we have to take ourselves there in another way, which is to be silent and still. And that stillness will speak to us. It speaks to us through creativity, through inspiration, and other ways. So you ask me how it is you get in touch with that. You must go to the shore, and you must look out and listen. And there's ways in my book where I talk about how you can build up that that frequency so you can hear and listen, be able to listen. And so it is something we did. When we were children, we could do this all the time. That's all we ever did. It's over time that we became more opaque. Our personalities and our egos became more opaque, and we weren't transparent enough. And we believe that we are this separate branch. And in a way, we pinch ourselves off from the source of the tree, and we think of ourselves as the separate branch, and we see the other branches, like I'm talking to you, another branch, right? Another branch
right.
named Mark, another branch
right.
named... But really, really, we are really all... The thing we have in common is our awareness. We all share awareness. You have a different story than I do, but the one thing we share is our awareness. That's no different.
Uh-huh.
So that's really the basis of the notion of a wise guide, is that the wise guide is we are expressions of that intelligence, and that intelligence is available to us as long as we can attune ourselves to that frequency and be
right.
able to calm and still our minds enough so that the opaqueness opens up to transparency and we're more like a window where this light can move through us.
So let's come back to what I'm getting is what you're talking about is a kind of a state, a certain spiritual, physiological state where our mind is kind of calm and is quiet and is still. But a lot
mm-hmm.
of people can't go there. Their mind is racing. They get up. They have jobs. They get in their car. They have a cup of coffee. They're listening, you know, whatever to their... to their device in the car, and they're
right.
in a hurry. So how do they, what do? Are they out of luck? How do they tune into that, to the realm
no,
of
No, I don't think
what
they're out
they
of luck at all, because what I do in the book, I talk about that allegory you mentioned, and the allegory is really of thinking of in your mind as if it was a stage. And it's a stage that is really has actors, like thoughts,
mm-hmm.
it has lighting, which are sensations, it has scenery on it that's come from years of conditioning. And we watch this play in our mind. We see all these actors milling about, and we see all these lighting changes and music and all this stuff going on. And we are just so intensely engrossed in this drama. We are sitting at the front row of that thing, just not even recognizing, realizing we're in a theater. We're just so engrossed with this play that's going on. And what I do with the book is I just ask you to remember that there's also, what makes all this possible in front of you is the space that all those things are happening in. All these elements, actors, or whatever you want to call them, the elements of the drama are happening in a space. The space is what makes all of it possible. So what I do in a sense is ask you to just move yourself back a few rows. Don't try to change the drama. Don't try to change the thoughts. Your mind is going to just keep doing all that stuff. It's just
so
to recognize that there's a space that's there. It has to be there, or else those things wouldn't be there.
Right.
It's just to recognize the space. And you know who influenced me to this idea, which was my mother when I was very young.
Really?
I used to I'd go to these scary movies. My brother loved scary movies, and I didn't.
Uh-huh.
And she would always tell me, just when you're in the movie and you get scared, go look at the exit sign. Look at the exit
uh-huh.
sign over the door, reminding you that you're in a theater, that this is what's going
uh-huh.
on the screen is not actually happening in front of you. And that was tremendously helpful to me.
Uh-huh.
So in a sense, that's a way of taking you out of the spell of the drama.
Right.
So what people
uh-huh.
really suffer from is that they've never had a break. There's never been an intermission. In fact, for many
right.
people, they feel if there was an intermission, they'd be dead. They'd say, my God, if there were no thoughts, there were no sensations,
uh-huh.
I'd be dead.
Right, yeah. I like that metaphor your mother said about remembering, you know, the look of the exercise to remind you that, and I know in my book I have a chapter about the movie of your life, and to remember that, you know, we're in our movie, we're everything, we're the choreographer, and we can choose our movie. If we want drama, we can choose drama. If we want something that inspires us, we can choose a different movie, and a lot of the movies are the actors that are in our movie. So if we want the drama, we're around people that are kind of unstable, maybe, that are unpredictable. If we want people that are, you know, in an inspirational movie, the movie of our life, we pick characters that are inspirational. Yeah. And if we want, if we want fear, maybe we pick people that are reckless. But it is, we get to choose all the time who the characters are going to be in our movie and where it's going to be and what we're going to look like and all that kind of stuff. And
in old language, which is how people spoke a long time ago, they would say, like it says in the Bible, that we're created in God's image. Well, God is the creator. So in that sense, we are creators. And so in looking at that, I think of, I think it was Wayne Dyer who said, if you believe it, you'll see it.
Right.
And so there's that action of creativity, because creativity has a lot to do with our perception, right? It's how we perceive things. And if we perceive things based on some notion that we're really objective, that we have this ability to be objective. But, you know, the minute I said this in the book as well, the minute we're presented by the magician with the notion of that he's going to cut the lady in half, and, you know, he comes up and he spins the boxes around, and, you know, we see him, son of a gun, it looks like, you know, he actually did it.
Right.
We know he couldn't have, but, you know, it really looks like he did.
Right.
And if the assistant after the show's over comes and says, come on up, let me show you, shows you the mirror, shows you there's two people in the boxes and all that, and then you watch the trick again, it doesn't look real at all. It looks totally fake. So that
I never figured
magicians
that out. That's
in a way
how they do
are,
it. They're
that's
two
what they're doing.
In the box.
Yeah, there's two people in the box, and they just basically move them together, and they've thought all that through. That, and magicians know that your perception is a choice. It's not objective. And if I give you the right kind of information, you'll perceive it a certain way. So when we recognize through that kind of experience that we are actually inflicting on reality some notion of objectivity, then we can say, wait a minute. My perceptions aren't exactly informing me necessarily of what's actually going on. I need to really examine what my perceptions are telling me and be able to put what context they're in. And that's why one of the things in the book I start off with is Plato's Allegory of the Cave, which is the most famous allegory in philosophy. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
So that notion
of
seeing the – yeah.
Mark, what about – we're kind of running out of time. What about if people want to get your book, how do they go about getting your book?
Well, it's available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. I have my first book signing coming up here in June. And I'm really just getting started. And I would say to people that right now I feel at a place where I'd really like to hear people's reaction to this book. So I'd really be open to feedback. There's ways to write reviews on Amazon and people give feedback, because right now it's new, so I'm really looking forward to hearing what people think of it. You know,
and if people want to get a hold of you personally, how do they go about doing that?
Well, they can go on my website. It's called yourwiseguide.com, and they can take a look at my information. And there's also a way to email me.
Okay. Why don't you just give us your email real quick, like?
It's just my name, MarcDePrey, no space, at comcast.net.
Mm-hmm. So again, we're in conversation with author Mark DePrey. He's the author of the new book, The Realm of the Wise. You can get that on Amazon. You can contact him directly. He'd love to hear from you. And also, if you've read the book, you can leave a review on Amazon. So what is next for you? This book coming out So what's next?
Yeah, what I want to do, and the book in a way was inspired to be kind of a precursor to what I'm calling the Wise Guide Experience, which is something that I'm really looking forward to doing. If you go on my website, you'll see more information about that. I have I used to work at Esalen with a friend of mine, Esalen Institute, and developed over a number of years some experiential exercises and things that I think will really help people to get to this place a lot easier than just thinking about it. And so what I have is a seminar that's a day-long experience. It's not an intellectual thing. It's not a lecture or anything like that. And it's really just a series of experiential things that we do to try to open that up. I teach you how to do Wise Guide writing. We talk a lot about space. So we talk a lot about geometric kinds of relationships, and we move around the room and set up different kinds of experiences that people would have that would hopefully make a beachhead for them to start opening up this channel and this ability to listen to this frequency that I think underlies everything.
Do you have any of those
now,
lined up now?
No, I don't, because I'm looking for people that really this would work for, and so it's something that you don't really sign up for. It's something you apply for, because I want to make sure I have the right people that really could get something out of something like this.
Right. And you're what, looking
not
for
everybody
four, five,
is visually
six people?
Inclined, and you know, and this kind of thing might not necessarily work for everybody. This is
right.
Very much of a visual, creative experience kind of thing.
So what inspires you right now?
Well, talks like this and, you know, getting reaction to this. You know, when you write a book, as you know, you spend a lot of time alone. And now to have it out there and have people react to it is
right.
quite an experience.
It is.
I'm a musician. I'm inspired by the music that I've been playing lately and some of the people I've been playing with. I've been inspired to read a lot more about some of the early Neoplatonists and also about quantum physics. So I think this is just an ongoing area of interest for me. And one of the things in our writing group, somebody asked me, so when do you start your next book? So I think maybe that's
I
what I got to look for now.
Right. I know. I remember when I finished my first book, I was on the radio several times, and people started asking me that. I'm like, wait a minute. I want to enjoy this process,
yeah,
and of really putting it out there. And a lot of people that are really talented writers have a lot to offer. They don't quite put the same effort into really sharing their message with others. They only
right.
feel like, well, okay, I'll do a few things. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But
right.
It's important because you really want to share what.
Well,
what
if
is
my book is right, then
others.
There is something that wants to move through us that's the same, and that this will resonate with others, and this will have an import to them. As long as I just follow these slender threads, like your offer to be on the show, to have this book signing, or whatever else opens up. And my job is to just, you know, go down, like I said in the book, is row, row, row your boat. You just basically row
right.
down the stream. And that's really what only thing I can do. I leave the rest to the much more intelligent universe that my little shoebox-sized brain could never understand.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. And to all of you out there listening, wherever you are, you could be in your car, who knows. But wherever you are, thanks for tuning in. And until next week when we have another inspirational guest, journey on.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com. And click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine Imagine the possibilities. Imagine. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.